Father, we're thanking your presence this morning. We ask, Lord Jesus, as we go to your word, as we continue to minister, making this word down, and our heart can be open, ready to receive, allowing you to do what's needed, and we're going to give you honor and thank you for your presence. Jesus, amen. This morning I want to talk to you about the church, but I want you to just know something right off the get-go. The best example of the church was just shown during our prayer time, where God begins to minister to our heart, where God starts to get a hold of us and draws us closer to Him. Say amen to that this morning. We need that. Boy, we don't need more programs sometimes. We need God's presence. We need God to open up our hearts and allow us to be sensitive. So sensitive and sensible and sociable and any other word you want to put in there. He needs us to be more than self-centered. Say amen to that. This morning, I want to talk to you about the church and kind of a weird title, Blood, Sweat, and Tears in the Church of God. But here's the way I want to begin this. I put that title together because I believe that there are some churches that never ask God's directions for the things that are going on in the church. I believe that there are churches that are nothing more than a social group that gets together and feel-good situations, feel-good stations that miss what God is trying to do, supposed to do in our hearts and our lives. And as I was preparing this message, I had no idea that God wanted to get a hold of so many hearts in such a special way, but it's just like God to do it His way. Say amen to that. God to get a hold of hearts during the week, knowing what we're going through, bringing us together. And if we're honest and open and ready for those things, God will do some mighty things. I think, like I said, I believe there's churches that just want to be social clubs. And if God began to move, I'm not kidding you, I believe if God began to move in some of the churches, they would be disappointed that the church is changing. Did you catch that? God showed up, they wouldn't be happy. If God wanted to take control and change some things, they wouldn't be happy. Blood, Sweat, and Tears in the Church may be a unique sermon title, but it's not unique in the way that God wants to do some things in the church and through the church and operating under the Lordship of Christ, the one who founded the church. And when you think of the term Blood, Sweat, and Tears, besides some of us that are older thinking of a 70s rock group, you immediately really should think of someone that, if you had to define it, it would be hard work and effort in a hard situation. And I catch this, I love this. Some believe that the phrase Blood, Sweat, and Tears was first used by Sir Winston Churchill in a 1940 speech in which he was talking to the British people, and he said this. He was warning them of the hardship of World War II, and he said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." Others believe that Oscar Wilde of England started it. Some believe that Mark Twain first penned and used the thought. My thought this morning is that it came much earlier than that. It was Jesus Christ with His blood, sweat, and tears on the cross for each one of us, wanting to minister to us, wanting to show us that there was a better way, wanting us to understand that we can live out our lives in Jesus Christ. We can live out and live under the anointing and the covering of Jesus Christ and His blood, sweat, and tears for the church and each one of us. That the church that is operating under the blood of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. Can you say amen to that? Do you understand the power that's in that statement? It's the same power that's said in the name of Jesus. When we're operating as a church, when we're operating as a believer, as we're operating under the anointing, under the love and obedience to Christ, that in the name of Jesus, things will change. In the name of Jesus, the church can operate and do the things that they're supposed to do. In Exodus chapter 29, Moses is directing his people. He's talking to the Israelites, and they're being told to consecrate themselves. They're told to be set apart. He uses this statement in verse 1 of chapter 29. this is what you are to do, to consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. And then goes into to describing a sacrifice, and goes into describing the blood of Christ, the perfect sacrifice of an animal on the altar of God, the killing of one so that others could be under the anointing and blessing of God. And for us, on this side of the Christ, of the cross is Christ. It's His blood. It's His perfection. It's His ability to save us. Because of His sacrifice, we're able to come to a holy and precious God. You say amen to that this morning? That we only have one way that we can be saved. We have only one way to be redeemed. We have only one way that we can stand before a holy and precious God. And that one person is because of the blood of Christ. It's not because we're good people. It's not because we've done such and such or done this or done that. It is because of Christ. We are not perfect. He is perfect. Say amen to that. We share His holiness because as believers we're under that blood of the covenant. Hold this thought. We are only saved because of Jesus Christ. We are only saved because of His perfect sacrifice. We're only saved because we're under His blood, meaning that we're not perfect in ourselves. So contrary to all the beliefs, you're not a good person, and that's not why you're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to heaven if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and saved by the blood of Christ. And you know, we are the only acceptable to God because of what Christ did for us. Second thought is that as believers, we're called. So the first part is we're only saved because of Christ. Second part, we're called to action. We're not called to sit in these chairs and just come in for an hour and sit on a Sunday morning and hear a feel-good message and go on out the door, but we're to come in contact with those that need to know Christ. We're called to be disciples, which means that we have to purposely and be intently wanting to learn God's Word and to be obedient and use His Word out in where we come in contact with people. And it's more than just gathering. It's like-minded people coming with a like-minded mission to be more Christ-like. And it's not just a few that are called. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the leader. It's not just those that have special talents, but that each one of us has a part in the kingdom of God. As you saw that little film clip at the end about connecting. Each one of us need to connect together, and we make up the church. We make up the difference. It make up what God can do and use us for. There's no age limit in the kingdom of God for God to use somebody. Some are saying, oh, I'm too old. Some are saying, I'm too young. God's saying, I have a use for every single one that are within the body of Christ to do something for the things of God. God calls us to sweat equity in the church, even though we can't be saved by works. Amen to that. He calls us to sweat equity. You can't sit and say that you're a believer of God and do nothing for the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. He tells us that He's warning the church and wanting the church to move into a community and change it for the image of God. Can you say amen to that? That means that the body of believers moved in to a hard area that we should make a difference. We shouldn't allow the neighborhood to eat us, but the church should go into that community and change it into the image of Christ, to move that community in such a way that the love of Christ can't separate the church and the love of Christ. Say amen to that. We're making an impact. We need to make an impact. He desires the church to make an impact. So the third thought of this is that we're called to compassion and tears, so to speak. Blood, sweat, and tears. That we're called to be compassionate. We're called to be sensitive. We're called to be past just surviving. Say amen to that. That so many times where we get wrapped up in everything that's going on in our lives that we suddenly lose focus, that God calls us to be a part of other people's lives, calls us to be involved in people's lives, called to shed a tear, called to pray, called to make a difference, which means at times we're going to be called to extend a hand of love And at other times, we're to be the warning to a community, that to a body of people that we come in contact with. We're to warn them that they need to change their life. We're warning them of a better way, shedding tears in a way that would draw them close to Christ. Whichever we are, at any given moment, Christ has to be seen in our lives. Say amen to that. Blood, sweat, and tears first lived out in Christ and must be lived out in God's people's lives, being conformed to the image of Christ, His love, His life, His passion, and His mission. That was the introduction. Now let's look at the church. The church, I think, sometimes gets a raw deal. And I'll say it this way. Because if a church is too inward, people say that they're too inward. They don't care about anybody else. And if you're too outward, meaning that you're going out and doing so many things, then they think you're a little hypocritical. Then they think that, oh, you're just doing it to show yourself, accused of being too pushy and not really caring for people. So this morning I want to talk just a moment about what should the church look like? What should we be doing? First of all, the church is not a building. You know, when you stop and you think about it, this is where we worship, but this is not the church. The church is Christ dwelling in each one of us. The church is each part that place that God places us to make a difference. It's not a church building. It's just a place where God's people meet. The church is each believer. And we're not perfect. Say amen to that. We're not perfect. Look to the person next to you and say, you're not perfect. Now look the other way and say, you're not perfect. And if I missed anyone, look here. You're not perfect. And you can look at me and say, you're not perfect. Somehow I knew that was coming. The one that would know. Christ tells us, be ye holy as He's holy. The church that intends to be the church has to make an impact, has to reflect Christ, has to draw people into a relationship. And then that same body of believers has to understand that if someone rejects you, that they're not rejecting you personally. Say amen to that. You can't, being a Christian is tough. You have to have some thick skin at times. They're not rejecting you. If you're doing what you're supposed to, they're rejecting Christ. And then as God gets a hold of their heart, the church, the body of believers that come into this building should be bringing new people into the fellowship. It's everyone's job to spread the gospel. It's everyone's job to be a witness. It's everyone's job to reflect the image of Christ in our lives. It's every one of our responsibility to learn the biblical truth. Say amen to that. That it's each one of us. I don't care if you've been a Christian 50 years or 5 minutes. We have the same responsibility as far as witnessing. We have the same responsibility to get to know the Word of God. The only thing that should be different between a 50-year veteran of the cross and a 5-minute Christian is hopefully you're a little more mature. Say amen to that. The church should be bringing people into the church, should be encouraging, should let them know what's going on in the body of Christ. And that should be a place of encouragement. You should come into the church, into the body of Christ, and be encouraged. And you should come into the body of Christ and be an encouragement to someone else. It works both ways, that you're coming in and being an encouragement and receiving encouragement. It should be people of like-minded faith gathering together to strengthen and to grow together in our personal relationship with Christ. Life is messy. Anybody want to disagree with that? Life is messy. Ministry is messy. Every day, people are gobbled up by life circumstances because they feel they have to do it alone. And it's happening in the church too. people feel like they have to do it alone. The church is designed by Jesus Christ to be that place to help each other when we're going through those gobble-up moments in life. You do not have to go through those situations by yourself. As a believer, the church family should be there for those times. Now, granted, we can't pay everyone's bills. We can't do all these things, but we should do what we can. Say amen to that. We should be putting our resources together and doing what we can. We can't do all, but we can do some. We cannot change that a person has a loss, but we can gather around them. We can strengthen them and help them through those times. And prayerfully, as we help those through their hard times, they will in turn want to pay it forward and help someone else when they're able. If you think the church is only a place that you can get something, you're only experiencing half the church. The other half is getting involved, getting connected, like that video again, actively becoming a part of a living church that reaches out, using all your time, your energy, your talents, your resources, your hands extended out to someone. If you're not doing one, you're only half doing it. If you're only doing one, you're only half receiving the blessings of the church. So listen to some of these verses, and we're going to open God's Word in just a minute. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though are many, are one body, so also in Christ. Do you hear me this morning? There is something for everyone. There is a part that we play, every single one. We can't all be the song leader. We can't all be the pastor. We can't all be this. We can't all be that. But we can be something for the kingdom of God. And when we stand before God, you know what? The rewards are going to be many. Because all we're called to do is what we're called to do. Do you understand that? If you're not called to be the pastor, you don't have the responsibility of being the pastor. Whatever you're called to do is what will stand before the Lord and have to answer for. The church, to be the true church of Christ, is to be under the lordship of Christ and following His teachings and reaching out to others and doing what God called us to do. Each member playing their part in evangelism. Each member being a part of encouraging those that need encouragement. Each member playing his or her part, and each one is of value. Each one of us is called. Have you ever heard the term blind spot? When you stop and think about a blind spot, the definition I found is an area where a person's view is obstructed. And I thought of this, and I thought that a blind spot actually has a negative and a positive. The negative side of a blind spot is not seeing things that are within your view. And you think of a car, and the blind spot that's there, We know it's there. There's a certain part, anybody that's been driving, you know that there's a certain blind spot there, and you physically have to turn your head to make sure that no car is in that blind spot. If you had an accident, an excuse wouldn't be, well, he was in my blind spot. Because we're to be aware of that blind spot. We're to be aware of that the possibility of a car would be there. But the positive side of a blind spot, I think, is when we get sometimes that God helps us and prevents us from seeing some things. How many know God helps us and prevents us from seeing some things? And I think of our kids when they're young. We shield them. We prevent them from seeing things that they shouldn't see. We prevent them from hearing and going through some things because we know that it would endanger them. And God is no different. I think God does that at times for us to prevent us from seeing these things. And at other times, I believe God shows us and expects us to be mature, expects us to help others and make others aware of what's going on. Amish people put blinders on the horses when they're running down the street. Why? Because cars are within few feet of these horses, and they don't want the horses to understand that there's danger right there, so they keep them blinders on there. I think it's funny. I talked about my puppy again, and I talk about him again. Sometimes we're driving down the road, and everybody knows me. My dog sits right here when I'm in the truck. He loves the truck, and he sits right here. But if I'm driving down the road and I see that somebody's walking a dog that I'm afraid that he's going to see, I shield his eyes. I'll pet him. I'll do whatever's taken. I'll distract him, and then we'll drive right on by that person so that what? He doesn't act crazy. And I think that's what God does sometimes. He sometimes just maybe have to pet your head and distract you a little bit, because he knows that if you see that, you're going to act crazy and you're going to be out of character. So we need both sides of this. We need God to help us through the blind spots that cause us danger that we need to be able to see. And then we ought to thank God for the times that he brings us through those blind spots and prevents us from seeing some of these things. So how can we know if the church universal, or even at a local level, is doing what God intends? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I want to read a couple verses of scripture to you this morning as I wrap this up. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." You say amen to that this morning. Here's clear direction of what the church should be and must be, and what the conversation is between the Lord and those that are called. He first looks at the people, the unsaved, the unconnected, the unattached people, and he says, "Who do those people say the Son of Man is?" And they go on to say John the Baptist, they say Elijah, they say Jeremiah, they say the prophet, a prophet. And those are all good tributes. But they're wrong. Do you understand that they're complementary wrong? They're not the right thing. And Jesus looks at them and says, "What about you? What? And who do you say I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." If you notice something, Peter is always the one that answers. And it's really important here to see this. Peter was kind of the spokesman for the disciples. And if you stop at that question wasn't directed just at Peter. It was directed to the whole group of Peter answers. Peter answered. He was the one that responded to this, and he says that you are the Son of the living God. Jesus has to be the foundation of the church. Say amen to that. Jesus founded the church and gave the church its marching orders. He empowers the church. The Holy Spirit is to dwell in our lives, and if we're to accomplish all that we're supposed to accomplish, it should be into the impossible. It should be the things that Christ is doing. The church under the lordship of Christ is unstoppable. Say amen to that. Simon, now get this. I'm wrapping it up. Simon, who became Peter. Simon means pebble. Peter was to be the rock. Now, most of the scriptures always want to say Jesus is the rock, and yes, he is. But I think Jesus was trying to prove a point here. I think he was trying to prove that if you're going to really be who you're supposed to be, you can no longer be a pebble, but you need to be a rock. You need to be on the rock, and then together a bunch of pebbles make up a big rock, which is going to make the church what it's supposed to be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, the rock of Christ, but also for each one of us to be and be the part that we're supposed to be. And I can prove it to you. He says here, He says that what you learned, Peter, didn't come out of a book. What you learned, Peter, came from God the Father. What you learned here, Peter, came from the heavens. He says that he will build the church on Jesus Christ being the foundation and the rock, but also the pebbles becoming rocks and doing amazing things in Jesus' name. Did you catch that? He says the gates of hell will not prevail. You want to know if the church is doing what it's supposed to do? The gates of hell aren't prevailing. Because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. He says if we are the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail. Hell won't be winning. The difference between whining and winning is attitude and allowing God to be in charge. Numbers are not the only way we can see growth. And I know as a pastor, I look at numbers. The church, is it winning? Is it allowing hell to prevail? Is it making an impact? He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail, period. He goes on to say, I will give you the keys. Remember those churches I was telling you about that sometimes don't ask Jesus for any decisions that are going on in the church? They don't have the keys. Now hear me. What I'm saying to you this morning is Jesus says, I will give you the keys, meaning I will give you authority that in the name of Jesus you will see things done. You will see lives change. You will make an impact. You can take this community for Christ in Jesus' name. I will give you the keys. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody's thinking lunch when they ought to be thinking spiritual right now. He tells us that there's binding and loosing going on. Another term, allowing and forbidding. He said, if we're going to be the church, and we're under the authority of Christ, there are things that we can allow, and there are things that we can forbid in the name of Jesus Christ. That would be another good place to say amen. Don't make me start over. This world may be heading downhill, Church of Christ is going to make an impact. We're going to make an impact with those that we come in contact with. We will be binding the enemy and people will be receiving the blessing and power of God, and the gates of hell cannot stop that. See, no matter how bad culture gets, culture doesn't run the church. Culture doesn't impact the church. The church should be impacting the culture. And if we're going to be the church that we're supposed to be, we should be making a difference. You want to see great things happening for God? Then we got to take the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, we've had some things going on and some setbacks and some great things going on. But here's the thing I want to tell you. If the devil's not nipping at our heels, we're not making an impact. Blood, sweat, and tears. We are the church. I'm telling you this morning, stop backing up and apologizing for it. And start being who you need to be. Say amen to that. We're coming into darkness and we're bringing the light. It only takes a little bit of light to make a difference in darkness. So each one of us can play a part in that. Amen? Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness. I pray that Jesus, that we would be the church. Christ-centered, the image of Christ, the rock is our foundation, and Lord God, each one of us, you would change our name from pebble to rock. Together we would make a difference in this community. Together we would see things done in Jesus' name. For all of those that were around this altar this morning, we believe in Lord Jesus that you have something special. Just keep our eyes focused on Christ. What you don't help us to get out of.